Let's just jump into what I want to share with you. And I think context is always helpful, so I'm going to give you, just kind of remind you where we've come from. We've been talking about, is it there? Yeah. The key verse for this conference, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. That's what we want for you. That's what the Navigators want for you. We want you to know Christ and to make Him known. And that's what that verse is talking about. Being built up in such a way so that you really can walk with Him and know Him. I shared with you our calling, and this is what you're part of just because you're here. You're part of the Navigators and part of what God has asked us to do. It didn't happen. To advance the gospel of Jesus and His kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers who are living and discipling among the lost or among people who don't know Christ. Our prayer for you is that you would be men and women who'd walk so closely with Him, become so rooted and built up and grounded in Him that for the rest of your life, you can be men and women that are used like this. Laborers who live and disciple among those who don't know Christ. That for the rest of your life, He take you in the mainstreams of life. And some of you may be pastors, some of you may be navigators, some of you may become U.S. senators. He'll use you wherever you are. Some of you will be teachers, some of you will be moms, laborers, next door to everywhere, living and discipling among the lost. That's what we're praying for you. Here's where we've been. You know this. Two stories of following Jesus, my story and your story. We talked about the God we follow, being a Jesus follower, and now this morning, a lifetime of following Jesus. You remember, I've been asking you, and I think you've been asking God, to be listening to Him, because He has things to say to you. Even yet this morning, I thought there's not possible, your spiritual brain capacity is probably overflowing. So who am I to tell you anything else? But I prayed about some more. I thought, no, God has more for me to tell you. So I urge you, keep listening. Keep asking Him what He wants to say to you. And keep your heart soft. If you're aware of rocks developing in your heart, just throw them out. Ask Him to help you. Remove the rocky places. Whoops. Well, yeah. John 17:3-4. Now this is eternal life, Jesus prayed, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work You gave Me to do. This is what Jesus said about Himself. And a reminder for us, following Jesus for a lifetime, know God, know Him, walk with Him, complete the work He gives you to do. Now help other people do the work He gives them to do, but you do the work He gives you to do. The God we follow, the New Testament name for God, Father. Isn't that wonderful? He's your Father. You know, I know some of you had wonderful, wonderful fathers. I had a great dad. I have a great dad. And some of you didn't. But all of us have fathers, and I'm a father, and I tell my sons I fall short. I've worked really hard to be a good dad, but I fall short. I'm so glad that my sons have God as their Father. Because He's the one who will never let them down. And we learned that our Father, let's say this together, the God we follow, God is my Heavenly Father. He knows me. He sees me. He forgives me. He rewards me. And being a Jesus follower, I'll put the slide up in a minute, but let's see if we can just say it without looking at our notes. And remember, a true follower of Jesus, there are some things that are true about this woman and about this man. Let's list them. The first one is that he or she holds to His teachings. The second one, loves other disciples. The third one, bears much fruit. The fourth one, loves Jesus more than others, self, and stuff. And the last one, is content with Christ likeness. Very good. And All this comes from the Greek word, a disciple is a follower, an adherent of Jesus. And here's what we just reviewed. To me, it's wonderful that this just comes straight from the Word. This just comes straight from the Word. And now this morning, we're going to wrap up with talking about a lifetime of following Jesus. There are two key words for the Christian life. And here they are. Come and go. And now I'll pray. No. Come and go. Come. Come to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Come to Jesus. Matthew 7, 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Let him come to me. Friends, this is very important for you in your journey. And you know what is important for me in my journey? Your God, my God, our God, has designed us with deep, deep needs, deep within our souls. A number of Christian theologians and authors and writers and psychologists have kind of narrowed it down to two basic needs that humans have in our hearts, in our lives. The need for security, the need to know I am loved. We all want to be loved. We want to be loved, chosen, wanted by someone. And the need for security or significance. I am important. I have value. I matter. I think that's what was going on with me laying in that field under those stars. Do I matter? I know that in your hearts, these questions drive you. You want to be loved. And you want to matter. You want security and you want significance. Let me tell you how this goes and how this looks. So here's a guy right over here. And what they say is that often for men it's slightly more important to feel important. And for men it's slightly more, or women it's slightly more important to be loved. Now I think men really want love. And women also really want to matter. So I think they kind of go hand in hand. But here's this guy walking around. He says, boy, I really need to feel important. I need to feel like I matter. And so he says, well, I need a best friend. I need someone who can really hang with me. I need a group of guys. And so kind of gets around those guys and hopes that they kind of, but you know, they don't quite do it for him. So and another guy come around. He says, well, you know what I need? I need to feel important. So I need straight A's. People are going to respect me on the basis of my intellect. Like I said, that's my physical prowess. I need people to respect. I am important. I am a man. And I play ball. And there's a look for it that way. And some guys get convertibles. And that. Now, some could. I need a car. I need a particular kind of car, and it's going to make me feel good about being me. We can do that. And I tell you, do that. You go through life looking for things to make you feel good about you. And let's say there's this woman, and she says, oh, I really need my daddy. I want my daddy. I want to be his princess. And then one day she finds out she's not. And she's crossed. She goes, well, goes finds a guy. This guy over here who's the intellect guy. Hey, would you make me feel like I'm important? And then he can't do it. And then she says, well, it's going to be my beauty. I'm going to have killer hair, I tell you what. Tell you what, I'm going to get the highlights down, okay, right? I'm going to get the capped teeth, fix the nose, adjust the body. I am who I, you know, I'm getting it. Do you know what? She doesn't get it. And then, you know when it really gets complicated? Is when this one and this one see each other. And they go, woo! And he says, Would you please make me feel like a man? Make me feel important. Make me feel good about me. And she says, make me feel like a woman. Love me. Take care of me. Honor me. Worship me. This is what they're doing. They come to each other demanding that the other meets their deepest needs. And here's what happens. Nah! Nah! You're not making me feel like I want to feel.
You're not making me like I feel.
That's the way it is. It's true. Yeah. Oh, jeez. You're crazy. Hey, the dog story was better than that. But no. Let me tell you why this is so important. Even your spouse one day will never meet your deepest needs. No accomplishment in life. No friend, no roommate, no living situation, no GPA, no perfect job, no perfect house, no car, no fantastic contribution to the needy of the world. None of this stuff will meet your deepest needs. Do you know why? None of those things were designed to meet your deepest needs. Descartes was right when he said, within each of us is a God-shaped void that only God can fill. You have deep needs that only God can meet, and He did it on purpose. Psalm 63:1. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Friends, it doesn't matter what wonderful things come to you in life. Apart from Jesus, you will find yourself in a dry and weary land with no water. I promise you this is true. The interesting thing, too, is that in a lifetime of walking with Jesus, it's not, yeah, I got filled up with Jesus when I was 19 at a conference or in a Bible study or in a quiet time. Every day, coming to Jesus. So you can hear Him say, Stephen, I love you today. I am for you today. Rebecca, you are beautiful today. And I am faithful to you today. And I love you today. You know what happens? When this one and this one go to Jesus and say, Lord, would You meet my deepest needs? Would You remind me of Your love for me? Would You remind me of how significant I am in Your eyes and that You put me here on purpose? Would You meet my deep needs? Do you know what happens then? These two come together and they say, Jesus is meeting my deepest needs. How can I serve You? How can I love You? How can I help You? And then they're coming to each other under Jesus in submission with servant's hearts. Does this make sense? And I'm using this in a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife type situation. It's the same thing. The same thing can happen with two friends, two sisters, two brothers, a mom and a daughter, a dad and a son, a mom and a son. It can happen in many ways. It is bound to frustrate you. And you know what happens? If you don't do this, you set yourself up for a lifetime of disappointment. All your friends will always disappoint you. Your spouse will disappoint you. Your kids will disappoint you. Because nothing can meet your needs like Jesus can. When Jesus is meeting your deep needs, you can just receive and bless all the people that come around you. Because no one has to perform for you. You are not desperate for anyone to make you feel good about you. Jesus is making you and speaking to you about His love for you. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you want to be that way? Imagine if this room, if everyone in this room, you go back to your campuses And you are among the few on your campuses who are not going around to everyone saying, scratch my back, please. Scratch my back, please. Your back is scratched. You can just be a servant. You can say to the Lord, Lord, how can you use me today? You're not consumed with thoughts of self and thoughts of your own needs. And you're set up to be someone that God can really use. Wouldn't it be cool to be that way? I want to tell you, I think God is here. I think He's with you. I've been watching you, and I've talked with a number of you. I think this is special, this weekend. And I think many, many of you, He has great things He wants to do through you. He'll have the freedom to do that when you cultivate the habit of coming to Jesus so He can meet your deepest needs. And this is what I pray that you'll do and how you'll be. Cultivate the habit of coming to Jesus to quench your deep thirsts in life. You want to follow Him all the days of your life? Are you thinking, I really want to follow Jesus when I'm 50, when I'm 25, 35, 50, 70? Do you want to do this? Cultivate the habit of letting Him meet your deep needs. There's a lot more to say about this. I encourage you, start learning. Start asking each other. Ask people you respect around you. How can this happen more? And people who know you, how do you think I could do this better? You know me. Do you see ways that I'm not doing this? And I know some of you are married here. Some of you are newlyweds. I bet you relate to what I'm saying. And I urge you, husbands and wives, help each other. Help each other. Point each other to Jesus instead of to one another. I think I'd like to pray for you right now on this one, and then we're going to move on to the last point. Father, I pray for each of us. Would you help us be men and women who come to you? Lord, I believe you're always beckoning us. Father, thank you that there's nothing in this life that will satisfy. We walk in this broken world. And even the things that we so look forward to, we experience them, and then afterwards, even if it's been wonderful, there's a little bit of a ring of hollowness. Lord, partly I wish it wasn't true, but I know that in that hollow and empty ring, there's a call to you. And I pray for each of us, would you help us come to you? Meet our deepest needs. Make us healthy people. Protect us from running to others or to sin to meet those needs. Help us always run to you. And help these men and women here, help them help each other turn to you. Father, for the sake of your glory, for the sake of you being exalted in each one, and for the sake of what you want to do in the world through these people, would you do this, please? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, come and go. Go to others. We looked at Matthew 28, 18 to 20 a couple times, where Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples. He commands it. He commands it in Mark. I think I put John 20, 21 up here. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Believers, followers of Jesus, are sent ones. We are people who go. We go. Now, some of that is going to another nation, to people who do not know Jesus. And I pray that from this room there are people who will do that. And I support that. God is calling some of you to go. And you need to go. Do you know what, though? You won't go over there later. Or you won't go to that city that He's calling you to one day. Or go into that. Unless you start learning now how to go. And going is taking initiative. Moving towards people. You know what? Some of the best initiative takers I know are introverts. You can do it. And extroverts, you can go to people, but you could shut up. Let them do the talking for a while, right? Go. Go to people. This is what believers do. This is what followers of Jesus do. We come to Jesus and we go to others. We are commanded to be people who are going. Do you know one of the most exhausting things to me is that I am almost always the one taking the initiative. In my neighborhood, in my relationships, and it started that way after I learned what I'm going to share with you right now. And we're going to look and we're going to spend the rest of our time in this one passage. It's Matthew 9, 35 to 38. So why don't you turn in your Bibles if you can? Or look on with someone else. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. This passage says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. It's interesting to me that we get a picture of Jesus going. It says Jesus went. What's Jesus doing? He's going. He went. He could have just gone to a nice little cabin on the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and just sat there and told people to come to him. But here, there he was. He was one of us. He was like us, and he went. He was taking initiative. He was moving out. He went through all the towns and villages. You know what he was doing? And I love this. He was taking initiative. He's going. He's the one on the offense, and that's what believers do. We're the ones on the offense. It says, follow this, he was teaching in their synagogues. He was engaging their minds. He was interacting with people on an intellectual level. He was preaching the good news. Preach is different from teach. Teach is passing on and explaining information. Preach is bringing people to a point where you're challenging them to do something. Dealing with people's volition. I want you to do this. Well, I've been with you. I've done some teaching. I've done some preaching. Engaging the will. Jesus was preaching. Intellectually, volitionally, physically. He's healing every disease and sickness. He's engaging with people right where they really are. Tell you what, that's one reason I love the ministry of Urban Hope, that Timothy's a part of here. That's right in your part of the country. Engaging with people with their very real needs. I love that. Jesus did that. And then we see, it says a bit on down, he had compassion on them. He was engaging with them emotionally. Do you know what whole people can do? People that are spiritually whole, people that Jesus has met their deepest needs? They have the freedom to do this. They can walk into a situation. They can be taking initiative because they're not all worried about themselves. They're secure. Jesus loves them. What bad could happen? Right? Freedom to take initiative. Freedom to engage with people's minds and intellects. Freedom to challenge their wills. So what if they don't like you when you say, I think you should do this? What does that matter? Jesus is meeting your deepest needs. You're all set. You can speak the truth and you can do it in a loving way. Meeting their physical needs. Meeting their emotional needs. That's what Jesus was doing. Now when we look here, we see verse 36, he says he sees the crowds. He has compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So it's a picture of these sheep that don't know what to do. And he says these people are like sheep. He looks at it, and it's not just, it's crowds of people, aimless, bumping into each other. Not their hearts are empty. Their minds have been deceived. Who knows what habits and sin is wandering around in their hearts and that they're wandering around in. He said, these people are harassed and helpless. And then he says, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. He paints another picture a plentiful harvest, no one to pick the harvest. Lots of fruit, no one to take care of it. Then he says, pray for workers. What Jesus does, he gives us and paints a picture to the disciples of two needs. Shepherdless sheep and a harvest that needs to be picked, a ripe harvest. He says there's sheep without a shepherd and there's a harvest that needs to be picked. And then, and I just love this, he says there's a solution. He says, guys, all these sheep without a shepherd, and there's fruit that needs to be picked. Pray for workers. One solution. Pray for... No, whoops. Yeah, did I just go way ahead? Geesh, I've been rolling it around. Uh-huh. One solution. Workers. I'm going to stand here so I don't do that again. Pray for workers. Two needs. Overripe harvest. Shepherdless sheep. One solution. Workers. He says pray for workers. Think about it. This is a prayer request to Jesus. This would be an interesting Sunday afternoon experience for you. Go through the Gospels and make a list of all of Jesus' prayer requests and then make them your prayer requests. Jesus asked prayer. Imagine Jesus showing up in your little prayer circle. I have a prayer request. Pray for workers. That's what he'd say. Pray for workers. Now, what's a worker? Workers comes from the Greek word ergates. And it means common field hands. Pray for some common, everyday people who will engage in meeting these needs of shepherding shepherdless sheep and picking fruit that's ready to be picked. You know what he could have said? He could have said, pray for some famous Christian people who would do this. He could have pray for some really gifted, wonderful, amazing creme de la cremes. He did not say that. He said, pray for workers. The first time I heard that, I was in a conference just like this, and a man named Leroy Iam shared it with me. And I was sitting towards the back, and I looked around, and I thought, oh, that means everyone in this room can be used by God. You don't like have to be a famous Christian person. You don't like have to be a famous Christian singer. You don't. He could use anybody. You don't have to be a pro football quarterback. He can use anybody. It mattered to me so much, I thought, that means he can use me. And I loved right then that he could use me. And I loved right then that he could use my friends. And I love right now that he can use you. You can be a worker. What does a worker do? A worker gets their fingers dirty in the lives of people, helping shepherdless sheep move forward. Helping people who are close to the king come into the kingdom. That's what a worker does. That's what Jesus said. Pick fruit, shepherd sheep, be a worker for him. Pick fruit, help the young. I think probably, and the young, that could be, the harassed, he says, the helpless, the people who really need help. And for me, I think picking fruit, people that need Jesus. They just need someone to help them. Help them understand how and why and answer their questions. You can do that. You can help the people around you. You get whole. Jesus meets your needs. You can take initiative. You can move out. Engage with people. The ones you are bump into, get around. Oh, this one needs help being picked. You help them. Enter the kingdom. This one right here, this one's just, woo, this one's kind of trapped. This one's really harassed. The enemy's harassing this one. We'll help them. Get them in the Word. Do what Carrie did with me. Hey, it doesn't have to be this way. Help them think through their issues. Point them to Jesus. Get them into the Word. And you can help them too. Isn't that cool? You can be workers in the lives of other people. And I want to let you know, I believe there's no greater calling. No greater calling. And again, in this room, you know, there are people who have been part of the Navigators. There's one right now who's a U.S. Senator. We have people in the House of Representatives. We have teachers. We have ranchers in Montana, farmers in Georgia, professors, missionaries in Zambia. It's amazing. To be a worker, you don't have to go into a full-time Christian service. Now, he might call you into that, and if he does, you need to do it. But what you do have to do is engage with the people right around you. And see, this is what we're praying. That some of you, that you would have the skill, the heart, the passion, the ability to engage with the person in the cubicle next to you when you're working at that big firm in Atlanta. And you didn't know you'd get that job. You got that job. You walk in and think, wow, there's 83 people just like me and we're all working on the same project. Now you, some people think, I'm just here to make money so I can go home and get some food and live in my nice apartment and then pay off my loans and get a car. But you know what? God has more in store for you than that. He put you there on purpose. Because from the beginning of time, He designed that this one right here would be in the cubicle next to you. Because He needs Jesus. And He wants you to move into His world. Not wait for Him to move into your world. And so you move into His world. And you're not weird about it. You're a real person walking with a real God. And you start sharing with this person and asking questions and engaging with them. They start trusting you. And eventually you lead them to a relationship with Jesus. You know what happens? He gets excited. And he shares it with his fiance. And she gives her life to Christ. And then she shares with her family, and her uncle of all people comes to Christ. And then he gets really excited and shares it with his stepkids who've hated him until he weeps in the name of Jesus in front of them and asks forgiveness for how he hurt them. And then they're set on fire and they show up in the same dorm room that you were in 5 years earlier. And someone helps them move forward. And on and on and on. Why? Because you said to the Lord, I will be a worker. I will go right where you take me, Lord. Right next to wherever you are. Isn't it exciting to think about? I can see it for you. I can see it for every one of you. One prayer request. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. You, will you be one of these workers? I pray you will be. And I have a sense right now that God is probably asking many of you to be a worker for Him. Not just 5 years when you're at that firm in Atlanta, but this week, right where you are. Be a worker in God's harvest field, in the world. And I want you to know that you cannot give what you do not have. What are you giving them? Truth, hope, life in Jesus. This is why it's important for you to keep coming to Him. You can't give off yesterday's fumes. You can't give what you don't have. You can take others along as far as you are, and you can serve Christ as a worker in His harvest field. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And I would like to pray for this, and then I have three more slides for you. Father, I pray that from this room, You would raise up workers. I pray You would answer that Your prayer request to the disciples would be answered in our day through these people in this room. I pray You'd raise up many in this room who would say, yes, Lord, I'd like to be an answer to that prayer. And would You help them in any way they need Your help for the rest of their lives to follow You and to help others follow You. Help them to engage with people, to go to others. Help them to shepherd sheep who need help being shepherded. And help them, I pray especially, help them to pick fruit around them. To learn how to help fruit ripen. And then to pick it and bring people into Your kingdom. Father, thank You. I believe You want to do this, so I pray it in faith and thank You in advance. Amen. Now here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Think through this weekend, everything. Your quiet times, these messages, your workshops, the talks you had over meals, that time when you were just sitting by yourself and something came to your mind. Think through the whole weekend. Your drive here, maybe. Maybe God had you come here just so you could talk to that person on the way here. And everything else was frosting to what he really wanted to talk to you about on the way here. Think through the whole weekend. Ask yourself, what's one big lesson that he's taught you? And this will help you. You can't leave here having the 23 most important things you learned. Do you know what happens when you have your list of 23? You don't carry anything. Just pick one thing. This is my big lesson from this weekend. And then tie it to one verse. And the verse that kind of I can hang that lesson on is this verse. And you've had many to choose from. There are probably a few that are kind of rising to the top of your heart and mind right now. And then one specific application. In light of what I think God's talking to me about, and in light of this verse, here's what I want to do. Now let me make a suggestion to you. Do not say, here's what I want to do after I graduate in 2 years. Don't do that. It's here's what I'm going to do now. Now. What are you going to do this week? And maybe it is something really big, but it has to be something that starts now. And then, what I'd like to ask you to do is to mark this moment in your journey. You know, Scripture is full of places where, especially in the Old Testament, God did something big, and you know what they did? They'd build a monument to him. And what I'd like to ask you to do is just build a monument. And the way I'd like to actually instruct you to do this, and I hope I don't offend your sensibilities, I'd like to ask you to write in your Bible. Pick that verse, and then circle that verse, or circle the number. And then write a little prayer or something next to it. What's today's date? October 5th? October 5, 2008. God showed me, by His grace, I'm going to. And if this is a brand new Bible for me. If you look through my old Bibles, you'd see. You could actually read my life story, just flipping through the pages. Because you'd see dates of times when I built a monument to God around verses. It said, from this day forward, it was my senior year, Matthew 10, 24 and 25. Jesus, it is enough for me to be like you if that's all I ever do in my life. May 4th, 1978, Illinois State University. So do that. And then, and for whatever, it may be something little, maybe something big. But if it is something really big, what I'd like to ask you to do, don't have to be dramatic about it. What I want to ask you to do is just stand up. Just stand up and pray about it. And that way, that's conceal it in front of your friends. Oh, God did something big in his life. God did something big for her. Now, when one of your friends stands like that, you get to go to them and say, hey, tell me about it. I saw you stand last week at that conference. What is the big thing that God did? And then you can encourage each other that way. Mark it in your Bible. If it's really something big to you, just stand up. Mark it by standing and then tell a friend. So you're going to have about 6 minutes to do this. And then we're going to be done. We'll pray together and then we'll be done. So, ready, set, go. Okay, I see a number of you still writing, so I'll wait just a little bit more for you to try to finish up right where you're at. And okay, friends, how wonderful it has been to be together. What we're going to do now is Mark Bogart has an announcement for us. You can stand, it doesn't matter. Mark Bogart has an announcement for us. He's going to share with us. I have about two more sentences to say, then we're going to pray, and we'll be done. What I'd like for us to do is everyone stand up, put your Bible down. Let's hold hands, grab a hand with someone. I just want to pray a blessing on you. And we'll be done, and I'm going to hold your hand and your hand, and I'm going to shake hands with you. Okay. Father, thank you for this weekend. Thanks for these friends. Thanks for the things that you've talked about to our hearts and to our minds and to our wills. Lord, I pray that you would give each one the grace to do what you've asked and instructed them to do in their journeys with you. And I do pray that you'd help each one in this room to walk with you all the days of their life. Would you do this, Father, for their sakes and for your glory? Lord, give each one a safe ride home. Protect us on the road, especially from other drivers that might not be as safe as they are. Lord, help them to continue to minister to each other as they drive. For some, I know that means sleeping. But help them to learn and bless and encourage each other with the steps that you've encouraged them to take in their walks with you. And Lord, now I commit these friends to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, would you bless them? Would you meet their deepest needs in ways that only you can? And would you send them back to their campuses and into the rest of their lives, really, as men and women who can be used by you in the lives of others? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.